In a world completely overrun by inane media, there are podcasts that rise above the rest. This is not one of those. Two middle-aged white guys from Middle America talk about random shit for about an hour or so. This is the Magical Talking Hatch.
Hi. Okay, two things. One, actually three things. One, nice sex hat. Two, I'm already recording. And three, did you seriously quote Napoleon Dynamite on Facebook?
I did.
Did you record my secret recipe?
No.
Because then it wouldn't be a secret.
Exactly. I recorded your public recipe. No, I'm kidding. I didn't do that. Pardon my eating. We got home kind of late.
Huh.
Tasty, though.
But it has dead animals in it.
It does. Although you had a quesadilla.
So?
Cheese.
No, it didn't have real cheese in it.
Oh, God. So you had a soycadilla or whatever. Okay, so idea.
Hey, how did you get it in your bowl?
A measuring cup, because remember, I'm trying to measure.
Where did you put the measuring cup?
I don't know. Maybe I ate it. I'm not sure. Check the sink.
Dead animal in it, as opposed to your usual live animals in your chicken.
Yes. I'm like Paul. I'm not going to eat a dead bird. No, this is a while back. The producer and our neighbors canned a bunch of stuff, and they have a pressure canner.
And now. A listener.
And a list. And who? Who's the listener?
Somebody whose birthday was yesterday.
Oh, she hasn't listened since I think episode one.
Okay, well.
But a former listener,
Jen.
Yes. And bless me. Good chili. And they had a pressure canner, so they made, among other things, what they've taken to calling chili starter, but it's chili sauce with beef in it. Hmm. And so producer threw that in a pot with a thing of beans, a thing of tomatoes, and some
now
chili powder.
Tell my secret recipe.
I said a thing. They don't know how much. I cannot wait, I'm telling you.
So speaking of birthdays, yours is Saturday. What are you going to do?
Nothing. We were going to do something. But I could really finish eating this. This is a good radio here. but I caught the plague.
Oh.
Which has weighed me down a bit.
I see.
And so I don't know that in 48 hours from now, I will be well enough for Mexican food and a barrel of margaritas. So, we're waiting, probably the weekend after.
I see.
But we're getting ahead of ourselves here. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast with only one listener. And you know who that listener is? It's you who's listening right now. You're our only listener. So thank you.
And you're the reason we do all of this.
You are the reason.
Just for you.
That and huge tax credits. Seriously, it's amazing. I don't pay anything. I'm Tony.
And I'm William.
And this is episode,
I don't know, 40.
Oh, crap. I want to say 45.
I do, too, but
the mystery episode threw
us off, yeah.
Our
evil parallel universe selves.
Yes.
Preempted our last episode.
Somewhere, sometime, some guys did something. It appears this is episode 45, so okay. Congratulations, people. Now, wait, we're going to talk while I finish this chili.
I am? Am I supposed to talk about my week?
Oh, I got chili.
Oh, Well, I didn't really do anything.
A vamp.
I think I finished the final draft of my book, but I guess we'll see what you and a couple other people say about it.
I'm going to read your book soon. Unfortunately, I'm going to read the wrong one.
Because if they hate it, then maybe I'll...
Oh, I will.
...make a lot of change. Well, okay, if they hate it. Okay. If you hate it, you know, I don't know if I care, but...
You have succeeded.
You might make some suggestions that I think are pertinent.
I'll try not to. No, I'm almost going to read your book, because I'm almost done with the Foundation Trilogy.
Oh, okay.
And then I'm going to read Harbingers again.
Okay.
Because for some reason, I remember the first book really well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember Harbingers as well. I mean, I could give you the basics. And also, the last version I read of Harbingers wasn't the final.
That's right.
So, it's not messed up. Anyway, and then I will read Threshers, or Combines, or whatever it's going to be called.
That won't be the title.
Rototillers.
I'm still working on that. I think I have a good working title.
The night that John Deere killed us all, or... Winnowers, the Twilight Nurse Saga. See, now it's a saga too, because it's a Twilight Saga. It's the Twilight Nurse Saga.
Not really.
Breaking Thumbs, Part 1.
Well, how was your week?
What week? It's been like way more than week.
It's
been 2 weeks. They have been extremely involved.
Aside from the plague, you mean?
Well, I got 2 diseases.
Two? Oh.
Over this time.
And including the plague?
Yes.
Okay.
The plague came later and sucked. But I got a nicer disease before that.
Oh.
Which you already know about, because we had our little heart-to-heart freak-out over it. Ladies and gentlemen, I am now officially... type 2 diabetic.
Yeah, I did freak out.
Hold for applause.
It's weird, but the mystery episode, you did mention the possibility that that would happen.
Yeah, you wrote me about that. That's creepy. Because it happened the day before the mystery episode was the diagnosis.
And we didn't know, of course, the mystery episode was going to air. We don't know anything. Excuse me. About these mystery episodes when they air.
We don't even know where they come from.
And there it was. I was listening, yes. And I you know, wanted to know what the mystery episode was all about. And we had just got done talking about your diagnosis and how you thought you might mention it on the podcast that night, but then we didn't have a podcast. And here was the mystery. And there was the mystery podcast, and you talked about it.
That is creepy.
So that was really weird, but yes, I did. Now, in the podcast when you mentioned it, yes. I quickly changed the subject.
Oh,
because I didn't want to.
Do you want to go into why this is an issue for you, or is that too much not consuming of media?
No, a lot of people who listen already know my mom passed away in 2006, and it was due to complications related to diabetes, adult onset diabetes, and before that she had a very difficult time. You know, she lost a leg and had to have her kidneys monitored and everything else. So, you know, it's a disease that has impacted my life in a fairly serious way. So when you mentioned it, as I was listening to the mystery episode, you mentioned it, I noticed that I quickly changed the subject because I did not want to talk about that. And I guess I was really hoping that, you know, that you wouldn't get that diagnosis. But so then when you did, I was pretty upset about it, I have to admit.
And I was surprised because, I mean, you know, I joke a lot, but I do, you know, want to live or whatever. But, I mean, I've been expecting for a while that it was, but by this point, it was pretty unavoidable. Like, had I really done some amazing stuff, it might have worked. But, I mean, both my parents have it and do really well with it. Hmm. And so it was kind of expected, but it still kind of... That day I went to the thing, and afterwards I was just kind of, I don't know, it hit me pretty hard.
Mm.
And so I decided, because there all these other appointments the doc wanted, the nutritionist consult and diabetic nurse and all that, mm-hmm. I'm like, I'll just get as many of these out of the way as I can today. And that proved to just be the nutritionist. I still haven't seen the diabetic nurse yet because then I got the plague and so I missed that appointment. So
I see.
Next week I'll go see the diabetic nurse. But I saw the nutritionist and not looking forward to this. I don't disparage the existence of nutritionists, but I feel about nutritionists the way certain people feel about therapists. I'm like, I know what I need to be doing. I've never been mystified by why I'm fat and out of shape. Like, so I don't really know why, you know, I'm going to go. And I go to her, and first of all, she's 12. She's like stick thin and blonde. And I'm like, oh my God. And then she brings me into this room that has a bunch of rubber food and sits me down and asks if my doctor talked to me about like what diabetes is.
I thought she was going to ask you, are you tempted to eat any of these things?
When I put this in front of you on a scale of 1 to 10, how bad do you want to snatch it out of my hand? No, we didn't even get to the rubber food yet. But there's just a bunch of like play food on the table. And then she asked me, like, if the doc explained, like, what diabetes is. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm in kindergarten. But I tell myself, I'm like, there may be one or two things I get out of this. And the fastest way to do it is to just deal.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, and just put up with all the stupid crap I already know or the stuff I don't care about and then get those bits. Well, it turned out I had no idea what I was talking about because I learned all sorts of stuff.
Huh.
And it was really cool. And I am on a thing now. I guess the term we have is meal plan. I'm still even hesitant for that term because it sounds too much like a diet and I hate those. But it's not, it's about keeping track of my carbs. Not like literally, but what it is monitoring roughly how many carbs I eat and maybe more importantly, when I eat them. And like the big thing that was getting me was I had, you know, I do that high protein breakfast thing.
Okay.
Almost no carbs, like none.
Okay.
There's one serving of carbs, I think, out of that. And apparently what the body can do is if you don't get a lot of them earlier in the day, at night, you know how I don't know if you run it, but a lot of people sort of crave carb type foods in the evening. It's frequently the body. Sorry, that rustling in the background is Ezzie messing. She's heard this story. She doesn't care. They sort of crave carbs at night because the body's trying to, like, compensate.
Oh, I see.
And that's not really a big deal if you're not diabetic, but if you are, then your blood sugar, you know, goes crazy.
Oh, okay.
And so the trick is sort of stretching things out throughout the day.
Okay.
And so now I'm on a thing where so, the funny part is, like, the first thing that happens is we need to put a bunch more carbs into my breakfast.
Oh, into your breakfast,
and then
yeah.
Take some out of my dinner and all this. Yeah. And here's the thing, and I did this, I've done this for, like, 5 days because then I got the plague. And it was a stomach-type plague, so basically I didn't eat anything for a couple of days. But anyway, for the 5 days beforehand, brilliant. First of all, really easy and real simple and flexible. Like it's all just sort of, you know, approximate.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing, because I wouldn't trust myself with that anyway. I also got, even though it wasn't required, I got the glucosameter and all that, and I stick myself once a day,
mm-hmm.
see what my blood sugar is. So I have this approximate thing that I'm sort of, you know, guessing, and it's mm-hmm. flexible and stuff like that. But I have this hard figure
mm-hmm.
once a day that tells me if I'm on the right track or not.
Mm-hmm.
And so the combination of how sort of flexible it is, and yet I have this thing I can gauge,
right.
is working great. And it's really easy. My blood sugar's been way lower than I like. They said we want it in this range, and I was expecting, you know, barely to make it in.
Mm.
No, I've had really nice, really low ones.
Oh, good.
And it's just a matter. Basically, what it's been coming down to is paying attention to what I'm eating,
mm-hmm.
like before I eat it, and also deciding how much I'm going to eat before I eat it.
Mm-hmm.
And once I do that, I haven't had cravings in between. I haven't lost any food. I can still eat absolutely any food. It's just a matter of how much and when in relation to other stuff I ate.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really easy.
Hmm.
And the whole point is controlling my carbs. So it's not strictly speaking eating healthier at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I think that may sort of come later, but I mean like to the degree that I was at lunch and I picked this thing that I would have picked anyway, and coincidentally it had no carbs. It was like a salad thing with some tuna and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it really had no carbs. I'm like, I need to get some, I have to have some carbs with this meal. So I go over to the producer who's in the grill line and say, can you pick me up a side of fries while you're in there? Which was awesome and also probably not the best carb choice. But I mean, but it worked. And because it is less carbs, I am theoretically eating less, and so theoretically I also may lose some weight because of that. And the meds I'm on actually tend to help with weight loss also. So that may be cool. But in general, I'm feeling really good about this. I'm eating less, and it's not hard, and it's not difficult to think about. And, like, when it first happened, Trish was like, okay, we got to plan the meals now. Is this going to be too carby or whatever? And I'm like, do the same meals, and I'll just tell you how much I'm going to eat of stuff, and then we'll have more leftovers. And she's like, but you'll be tempted, like, there'll be more leftovers. And, so and I said, that could happen. If it does, we'll be prepared for that. And you know, if it does, like when we do my birthday thing, I probably won't pay attention that night. I will probably eat and drink what I want that night.
Okay.
And my blood sugar will probably be high that time. As long as it's, you know, once in a blue moon, it's not the end of the world. And she even said that because I was talking to her about, like, date night. And she's like, you know, if it got to where it happened, like, every date night that your blood sugar was too high, yeah, you probably need to adjust. But, you know, every once in a while, people do that. And so far, I've been several times thinking, oh, I overdid it, and I take my blood sugar, it's lower than I thought it was. So it's been, and I've really noticed a difference. A lot of things that I thought had to do with how much caffeine I have and stuff, I think maybe blood sugar, because a lot of things, I'm not having ups and downs of energy level and stuff that I thought were associated with, I drank too much caffeine yesterday, and I'm trying not to today, so now I'm tired. I think it may have been more about blood sugar. So I'm really, I mean, it sucks that this had to do it, but I'm really psyched because I feel like this is doing stuff that nothing else has done for me, and I have the potential to come out of this healthier and in better shape than I was. And not unlike the podcast, for some reason I'm not getting sick of it already.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, so I'm kind of psyched about it, but okay. We shall see.
That's all very good news for me, because I was very scared, I guess you could say, when you gave me the news.
And there are people who do that. I complained to the doctor at the time, my doc, like, we're not making people fix stuff. We're finding ways so that people don't have to. So I don't have to lose weight when I get sleep apnea, because sleep apnea could kill me. We've got a machine that'll breathe for me. Right. I don't have to lose weight because I got diabetes and, you know, I could lose bits of me and stuff. No, we just have pills that'll take care of it. And a lot of people just take the pills and over time and do what they want. And over time they have to take more pills and more pills. And eventually there's not enough pills.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing some of that in parts of my family. My parents, I've been fairly inspirational in that they are pretty good. My mom is almost off pills completely.
Oh, wow.
My dad doesn't have a lot of them. I've known some other people that, like, you never really get rid of diabetes, but you can go back to what's called a pre-diabetic condition, which means you're not taking any meds and your blood sugar is still under control. And I know people like that.
But they sort of permanently have to have made those lifestyle choices,
yes,
or whatever.
But that's the thing. I'm always sort of been scared of that idea, but I'm seriously not changing what I'm eating. I'm changing how much and when.
Well, the fact of the matter is, though, I mean, aside from the occasional pizza and drive-thru McDonald's or whatever, you don't eat junk food very much anyway.
I horribly all the time.
Oh, no, that's not true.
No, it
like
really
that, is. Like that chili there is homemade,
yes,
and very healthy.
But it is not... Up to this point, it was not uncommon that an average of maybe at least a third and often as many as half of the evenings, we would get something out. We would not make food at home.
Okay, well...
And then it would be McDonald's. I mean, it would not be unusual for me to have McDonald's more than twice in 1 week.
Oh, I see.
No, I eat really awful. And over the years, I've tried to sort of, like, listen to my body more and stuff like that. But... Not really. And this, I just pay attention. And some fast food is still okay. Fries are a big one. I find alternates for fries. And I can still do fries. But in most cases, I don't like the fries well enough to warrant it. I'd rather be like, I'll have the sandwich and a salad or something. Or, you know, I mean, it's, like I said, at this point, it's not really about changing for the healthy foods. It's adjusting my carb level, regardless of what those are.
But you suspect that other dietary changes will be down the road? Or?
It just seems to make sense to me that if I'm going in this direction, I mean, maybe not that they'll be necessary to control the diabetes, but maybe just that I may want to.
Oh, I see.
Because I am still trying already things like trying to sort of get my physical fitness back up and stuff, and down the road, I mean, something has to change. If I lose a bunch of weight, this plan, the specific amounts that she sort of like told me to shoot for, mm-hmm. are based on my age, weight, height, all that jazz. Mm-hmm. So if those things change, theoretically something changes.
Yeah, right, right.
You know, if I lose weight, if I become more physically fit, as I grow older, you know, these things have got to affect it. But it really, just paying attention to the damn food and deciding what you're going to eat. I was hungry, and I have sort of snacks built in, and I was hungry when we were at my in-laws, and my father-in-law had brought out these chips and dip, and he was eating them, and I'm like, I kind of want some of those, and it's about snack time, and so I looked at the dip, and it had no carbs, so I'm like, I'll just have what I want of that, and I looked at the chips, and I saw how many it was, and I'm like, okay, so a serving would be about right, and so I took out about that many chips. And I ate them with the dip. Well, I took out that many chips and I gave him back the bag on the other side of the table. And then I just ate them. And it was nice. And then I was okay.
Huh.
Like, it's amazing. I haven't had food cravings. I haven't been sad about not eating stuff because I've been eating what I want.
Do you think before you, like, you mentioned putting the bag on the other side of the table. Do you think that if you weren't reflecting on it or thinking about it, you just would have eaten tons and tons of those chips?
Yes. I know it for an absolute fact. I have done it hundreds of times.
Well, why is that?
Because I'm not William.
No, I mean,
it's difficult to explain, but everybody in the world except you does that.
No, that's not true. I'll eat okay. a whole well, then, bag of chips or whatever, but there's a reason usually that...
Because it's tasty and it's there and you're not thinking about okay. it. It's amazing how much food you can put away when you're not thinking about it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. When you're watching TV and you've got one hand in a chip bag, mm-hmm. like you can go forever and then they're just gone. And there's issues of marginal utility, but if it's literally the effort it takes to get it from where it's sitting to your mouth, and it still kind of tastes good, even if it's not as good as the first bite, why stop, you know? If you're not really thinking about it.
But are there any emotional, like, is it comforting to eat?
Oh, yeah. Well, I know I've always been big on eating my feelings. Oh,
okay.
When I'm sad, food makes me feel better. When I'm nervous, you know, food will calm me down. When I'm happy, food to celebrate is a big thing for me. Mm. Yeah.
Interesting.
Pretty much I've managed to attach every female. Food for me is like sex for bonobos. And I feel like I've said that on this podcast before. I'm sure someone will tell me if I have.
We were talking about food porn, probably.
Possibly. Because, you know, bonobos have sex for everything.
I guess, yeah.
Anything that happens. You're scared? Sex. Happy? Sex. Found food? Sex. You know, whatever. And I'm food. I'm like that for me.
So, is that going to require some kind of... Are you going to have to do something else?
I don't know.
Or... Are the emotional needs just not that strong? It's just, like you said, it's there.
I don't know. I think thinking about it is key. As long as I'm paying attention.
I see.
And so as long as I don't get so comfortable in the process that I stop paying attention, and that's where the glucosameter comes in. I'm still going to check my blood sugar once a day. Mm. So if I get so... Eventually, hopefully, I'll get to where I'm really good at this and I can just sort of look at stuff and mostly know how many carbs and things like that.
Right.
And if I get... to that point and I get sloppy, theoretically I'll notice because my blood sugar will go up. Yeah, and then I'll be like, whoa, I'll have to pay attention. I so don't think this would work for me without that added thing.
I see.
Because I could say, oh, I get the concept and sort of do it, but over time I'd do it a little less and, mm-hmm. you know, push it a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But that daily reminder will make a huge difference, I hope.
Well, that's all very encouraging.
Yes.
I'm glad that's working out.
And we spent 23 minutes on diabetes. Well, welcome to the Wilford Brimley Hour, people.
It's a big deal when...
And a tasty way to do it.
It's a big deal when a person has that diagnosis. It really does change the way you look at life and the way you live your life.
I feel a little patriotic, though.
What do you mean?
It's kind of the American thing to do. Why? First, you get sleep apnea, and then you get diabetes. So right. I feel a little...
Yeah.
I'm kind of American. buy me a new truck, put some nuts on it, a whole bit. Put
some nuts on
truck nuts. Truck nuts. I am not a hateful person, but I would punch the person who invented truck nuts in the throat.
Contrary to how you often portrayed yourself
contrary
on
to
the air.
What I say and how I act and the things I do. I'm not a hateful person. Yes, contrary to how I live my life. Oh, I have to say that a lot. I had the weirdest thing today. So, okay. At work, the near men's room to me has a couple of urinals and two stalls, and one is a smaller stall and one is a handicap stall.
Okay.
Now, two things about me. One, I was raised primarily by women and I'm lazy, therefore I tend to like to sit down to pee. Yes, I'm one of those guys. I don't care. I like to sit down to pee. It's not that I can't stand up to do it. I can. My father made sure he trained me. Seriously, when I was like four, he like taught me so that I would know how. Okay. But and I can do it, and I have when I need to. But in general, I prefer to sit down. It's more comfortable. I like to sit down in general all the time, so, you know, it's fine. And the other thing is, I am a big enough guy that the small stalls are not comfortable, especially if there's a lot of business going on. There's not a lot of room to maneuver, shall we say, in the smaller stalls.
I can't believe we're having this conversation on the podcast.
Yeah, but then think about it, and you really can, can't
serious.
You?
Yes,
yeah,
that's right.
But I've decided that there's this thing where I'm not gonna always take the big stall, because that's rude. You know, other people would want it, and in my head, you know, I'm like, well, if everybody behaved that way and took the big stall because it's the most comfortable every time, then the times when I go in there and it's not available, if I need it, are going to be less, and this is bad. So I try and take the smaller stall unless it's important. or the smaller one is taken or something like that. And it's sort of this thing I've developed, a sort of bathroom stall karma.
Okay.
Well, today I went in after a coworker who went in and immediately went to the big stall. And from what I could deduce, did not have a lot of work he was doing. And I genuinely thought to myself, in my head, I articulated it in my head. I'm like, doesn't he know about bathroom stall karma? Like it's a thing. Like other people have this.
A thing that other than you made.
Yes, yes. Like it's a real, like it's a thing. Like it's not just something I invented in my head. Like it's a thing out there in the world. Bathroom stall karma. And like, not even like he's a jerk, but like, isn't he afraid that the next time he needs it, it won't be there? Now, to be fair, I'm still recovering from my illness. And so I did a lot of delusional things today. But I remember at the time, like, thinking this and then immediately being like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Why would he be concerned about bathroom stall karma? There is no such thing except in your mind.
Except now, we all.
Now it's going to be a thing
now
in
we
the
all
world.
Know about
so
it.
I'm sharing it with all of you. Bathroom stall karma. Keep it in mind. Don't take a bigger stall than you need for the job you have at the time, because there may be a time later when you need that bigger stall, and if people are selfish, it won't be there for you. The more you know.
Okay.
Do, 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 do. Is that how the song goes? I don't remember.
Can we move on to something else so I can forget everything you just said?
Do you want to go back to diabetes?
I want to maybe draw something out of the hat. Or something to cleanse my cranial palate.
Cleanse it. See, now that sounds gross to me. All right. You know I'm 35 this year.
I was going to ask, but I thought it might be rude.
No, it's a new demographic checkbox.
Is it?
I think it's like 35 to 60 or something. Like,
oh.
Here's what I'm fairly confident of. Nobody important will, starting 2 days from now, nobody important will ever give a damn what I'm watching on TV again. I think 18 to 34 is the male 18 to 34 is the demographic.
Oh wow,
that they care about.
You've passed a privileged threshold.
Exactly. So now they'll be like, who cares what the fuck he's watching? Although, to be honest, the way television has gone recently, I feel like they haven't cared for a while what I was watching.
I'm pretty sure they haven't cared what I was watching since I was six.
But up to that point,
they might
you
have
were
cared.
The golden child.
They might have cared up till then.
When you were six, they were like, maybe William shouldn't be planning all our programming. Who's William? That kid in Iowa. You know? He likes weird crap, and I'm not sure it's flying with the people on the coast.
No, what happened was it was the green machine, see? They invented the green machine because they knew I think it was awesome.
And then you didn't watch any more TV. Because
I was on my green machine.
Exactly.
Not only that, but the green machine didn't sell very well, so then they thought, well, this is a big waste of time to pay attention to this kid.
So much was wrong with that. They're like, clearly.
Everything changed after that.
He betrayed us and isn't that bright. So it was really the changing of the entirety of modern television right there.
Mm-hmm. It was my fault. But everyone else seemed happy. I mean, I'm the only one that didn't, so.
Really?
Most
everyone else
you just
happy.
You just said that only recently it seemed like they stopped paying attention to you and what you liked.
Yeah.
So, you know, everything worked out for everybody else, just not me.
I think maybe I didn't notice until Firefly, and that's when, at that point, I was like, what the hell? They canceled it. And then I'm like, wait, they kind of do that with everything I like.
Well, that was some time ago, so.
I know, and
maybe,
since then.
Maybe
of,
the demo, maybe the
well,
privilege threshold
TV
shifted.
For a while.
Maybe it's shifted. Maybe you're saying it's 35. Maybe it was actually 30.
That could have been.
When they stopped caring about what you thought.
That could have been.
That used to be the magic age, right? Don't trust anyone over 30. Isn't that what they used to say?
Yeah, but I don't think TV executives were the ones saying that.
Well, I don't know. If they thought the young people were saying it, then they were going to go along with it. They weren't going to cast anyone who
I
was
think they
over
thought
30.
The young people were saying da bomb. I have a coworker who's older than me who uses da bomb in her instant messages to me, and I find it disconcerting.
Oh, yeah,
I like her. She's wonderful, but she needs to stop telling me I'm da bomb when I help her out. Just saying. All right, maybe we should pull some questions.
I think
you
we
know,
should.
We are at, like, over 31 minutes.
Okay, good.
Here we go.
Have we had any new submissions lately, or do you happen to know?
How would I possibly know the answer to that?
Well, because you seem to, like, pay attention to what the hat's getting.
No. But I have the plague. I don't know.
This is from Anonymous.
Oh, Anonymous. Anonymous writes so many questions of that. Anonymous is possibly our most prolific questioner.
What should you do if you are out to lunch? You see your boss at the restaurant, and he gives you a new work task during your unavoidable interaction.
Ezzy, what do you think? Ezzy? What do you think?
I don't think she has an opinion. For one, she doesn't have a boss.
She thinks my mouth smells good. She thinks she's the boss, so she might give
well,
us
that,
work done.
That's what
up,
I mean.
Don't get up.
That's what I mean. She's the boss, so why would she ever have a boss?
Ezzy.
But maybe she'd go into the restaurant
Seriously,
and give you a work
how
task.
How do you never talk when the podcast is on? I can't get you to shut up the rest of the time.
She knows she's being recorded. Gets a little self-conscious, maybe?
I don't know.
You know, I'm not really sure I understand this question, really, because...
You're okay. Okay. Close your eyes, William.
No, I get the context.
Okay.
What I don't understand is... What do you do? You obviously, you listen to your boss, and when you get back to work, you do the thing your boss told you to do.
I think in those situations, you are what we call in the business SOL. Which, by the way, SOL, shit out of luck, is something I learned working for the company where I used to work for you, William.
Yeah, well.
We provided customer service and very quickly learned the phrase SOL.
Yep, that's
not funny. That we were ever allowed to say it to them. But it was used quite a bit at work. You try to solve a problem and you hit that point and the person's like, they're just SOL. And you're like, okay, I'll go tell them. So
now,
yes,
there might be
shit out of luck.
There might be a lot of things you can do if you suspect when you see your boss at the restaurant that your boss is going to do this and your boss hasn't seen you yet and you want to avoid that happening. What could you do?
But
I don't even know how
is
you...
Is this like a thing? I mean, again, like, are we assuming that you weren't going to get this task if they didn't see you there?
Well, I think the author...
Like, you have the bad luck of being... Like, whatever employee they saw at lunch was getting this job? I mean, they just would give it to you when you came back.
Yeah.
It'd be waiting on your desk.
I think the author is probably suggesting that it's bad form on the part of the boss to do this.
Dude, and I'll give you that.
Yeah, I would agree.
Absolutely. What the hell?
But,
dude, it's my time for my food and my peoples. But as he get out of there.
My peoples. But my I'm people. Really not sure what you can do about it. I mean, I suppose
Bupkis.
If you have a good relationship with your boss, you can say, could you not do that? And, I mean, if I did that to you when you were on my team... And you said, hey, don't do that. I would have said, oh, you know, you're right, I'm sorry. And I wouldn't
but,
have
But, see, it becomes a bad thing because you and I were good enough friends that if you... Well, first of all,
but anybody on my team could have done that.
But had you said that to me, I wouldn't have cared. That's the thing. You have to dislike your boss enough because because the implication here is that that brings the work world back with them to their lunch, and then they're like, oh, now my lunch mood... You killed my buzz, basically. You killed my lunch buzz.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you like your boss, then who cares?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Be like, oh, yeah, I'll do that for you, Wally. You know, like... But also, you wouldn't do that, because I could totally see you being, like, weirded out by that. You'd be like... Oh, this is their lunch. I don't want
I wouldn't do
bring
it,
up work stuff because
I wouldn't do it.
Work.
But if someone called me on it, I would definitely agree that that was inappropriate.
Somebody called you on anything, you wouldn't do it. You're ridiculously nice. Do you not get how this podcast works?
No.
You're nice, and I'm.
I mean, I didn't like to bother people on their breaks because it was their break. For gosh sakes, I mean that's the whole point.
Yes,
you can do something.
And that's what used to happen is I would come to you and tell you the entirety of the previous night's episode of South Park, pausing in the middle so I could go take my break, and then come back and tell you the rest.
I told somebody this story recently about how you were telling me about that Simpsons episode.
And you told me that I had already told you.
And I was telling you about the Simpsons episode, and I was like finishing your sentences for you.
Oh my God.
And so obviously I knew a lot about this episode and you were baffled, and I said, well, there's only one way I could know this, Tony, is that you told me and you insisted.
I just saw it last night.
You just saw it the night before. You couldn't have told me. I said, then how could I possibly have known? Because I only know what's going on in Simpsons episodes because you tell me.
And I spend the entire day thinking I'm in like the lost episode of The Prisoner. Where, like, I'm leading this double life, or, like, this is all a dream or whatever. And then, like, a couple hours later, you're like, oh, maybe my brother showed me that at his house. And then I punched you in the face in my head.
I completely forgot that I watched it at my brother's house. I completely forgot that.
I just thought I had just lost my ever-loving mind. Like, it would become this thing where, like, the Simpsons had gone recursive to, like, I'm literally just telling you about what next week's episode is going to be.
It was weird because I was wondering, too, like, did I just have a prophetic dream or something where I dreamed that he told me this stuff and now it's all in my head? No, I watched it.
And I don't remember what the episode is about except that it prominently featured Milhouse.
Yes, that's right. Milhouse.
That is all I remember.
Milhouse
said
a few things. I said, oh, and Milhouse said this. How do you know that? You had to have told me. That's the only reason I know. The only way I can possibly know what's going on in The Simpsons is when you tell me. But that wasn't the only way, obviously.
Exactly.
I'd gone home and visited my brother.
You're a liar.
I'd gone home and visited my brother, and he had it on television. I watched it.
And it got weird because I usually would watch every new episode, and this is one I had missed. So it was actually a rerun.
Yeah.
But I had never seen it before.
Well, and when you were telling me about it, I thought that...
I had seen it the first time or something.
That it had never aired before. Not just that
you'd really?
Never, yeah, not just that you'd never seen it before, but that it had never aired before.
No, but you had seen it before.
But then I knew all about it somehow, so you must have told me.
And that's when I really started to hate you.
And then I remembered I saw it in my brother's house.
Speaking of which...
Oh, that was hilarious.
Archer's season premiere is tonight. I'm very excited about that.
Oh, wow.
The funniest show you will hate yourself for watching.
Well, I guess what you should do is just say yes... ma'am or sir, and go do it when you get back from
as a your supervisor
lunch,
once told me in one of my contingent positions, suck it up, Tinkerbell.
What?
They did.
No.
They did. To be fair, we had sort of become friends, and I was, you know, heedlessly whining, and they were just, yeah, it was all cool, but, like, I wasn't appalled, like, they were grinning when they said it, and I laughed, but,
okay.
But they really, I really had been whining relentlessly, and they really did want me to shut up and do the work, and it was totally legitimate.
But any bosses out there, bad form,
bad form,
don't do that. Now, if you're taking your person out to lunch or whatever, you're probably going to talk shop, and that's normal or whatever, although it'd be good if you...
Even there, try and steer away from it.
It'd be good if you didn't...
bump into them, like, pretend you don't know them.
Yeah, obviously, they didn't go to lunch there with you. Or, they probably would like to spend some time away from you, so don't bother
Or
them.
Even better, just nod at them and say, Captain, and walk on.
Captain.
And let them try and explain that to the people they're eating lunch with, because that would be awesome. All right. You know, I always love question two.
Why?
Because I actually get to draw the question.
You get to draw it. You always give me the first one, which is very polite of you.
It's because I'm nice.
You are nice.
Wait, that's not what it is.
Well, you are.
All right. I sense this one has been digested.
It's got that kind of gooey feel.
Yeah, there's bile on it. It's from Blood Sparrow.
Hey!
Hi, Blood Sparrow! Blood Sparrow, you should come out to Iowa for GammaCon. Just in a couple weeks here. We're going to have a bunch of Happy Jacks fans here. We're going to get together. It's going to be awesome. You should come out from... Oh, you're from Texas now. Even better. Yes, come out from Texas. Ezzy, what do you want? Ezzy, do you want to read this one? Do you want to read it?
Go ahead.
Come on, Ezzy. Yeah, there was a little
cheap... said something.
Just a little one, though. I really had to piss her off to do
it. But
it
wasn't reading. She typed on your keyboard, too. Did she mess
up your
recording?
Oh, dude. The producer got a Kindle.
Okay.
Ezzy turns the pages with her nose, like, all the time.
Oh.
She comes over, she's like, what are you reading, Mom? Touches it with her nose and turns the page.
Oh.
She's so pissed. All right. You're lucky. You're cute. Okay. What are your thoughts on spun sugar / fairy floss / cotton candy?
Huh.
She forgot candy floss, which is the UK one, I think. Was William's fault.
I hit the microphone, sorry. Spun sugar, I've heard that one, but never fairy floss. I've never heard that.
I've never heard fairy floss. I've heard candy floss, because that's pretty much what they call it in the UK. Ezzy.
Well,
what are your thoughts?
I've always enjoyed
cotton
candy myself.
We're solidly cotton candy. That's our term.
Yeah, cotton candy's what
here. I think that's the American thing. I think, like, pretty much all of... correct me if I'm wrong, listeners, but by and large, all parts of the United States of America refer to it as cotton candy.
I'm pretty sure. And I like it, and I've always liked it. Hey, sweetie, what are you doing over here? You want to read it? No, she doesn't.
I'm not sure she can read.
She's bored.
She likes to pretend she can.
Anyway, always enjoyed it myself, but I have a friend who was raised by circus folk.
Of course you do.
Who's told me that she
mostly
was...
mostly made from spit
no,
and...
No. She told... Contact. She was told by her family, in particular her father, that when she was growing up around the carnival and the circus, she wanted cotton candy and snow cones, you know. Those are the two things they sold there. And he said, no, you're not going to have cotton candy or snow cones because those are for suckers. Oh man, I just love that story. So apparently
they probably are the highest markup.
Well, I you know, think about it to the circus and carnival people, this was like, wait, we got shaved ice with syrup on it, and we've got really a tiny bit of sugar that we've stretched out into these fibers. I mean, it's probably a penny or two that we've spent on this thing, and people are spending, you know, a quarter in the good old days and a dollar today. It's like, oh my God, this is like only for suckers. There's no way you're going to have this kid because you work, you know, you are one of us, and you're not going to be eating the food that the suckers eat.
So
it's hilarious.
I've been watching, because I watch Phineas and Ferb in the morning now, I see more kids commercials than I used to. So I've been seeing a fair number of Chuck E. Cheese commercials.
Yeah.
And I've noticed lately they have a lot of incentive things. You know, do this and you can get this and come in and do. And they're all they're no longer surrounding tokens. They're all about the tickets.
Yeah, the tickets, right.
And in fact, today was the biggest one I saw, which is for your birthday, you can go in. They have a ticket grab that, you know, those things that radio stations have with money where like it blows really fast and you try and grab. They have one with tickets, and they have, you can get a thing in there that if you grab it, you'll get 1,000 tickets.
Wow.
That's what I first thought, and I'm like, do they charge extra for that? And I'm like, no, they don't. You know why? Because the most expensive cost thousands of tickets thing that you can get at Chuck E. Cheese cost them 99 cents, maybe.
Yeah, right, right.
Exactly. And they already made that back on the soda pop.
Well,
so they can literally just throw giant balls of tickets at every child's face who walks in the door.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're still making crazy ass amounts of money.
That's right.
The tokens, not only would they hurt the kids more if they threw them at their face because they're made of metal, but those are actual fun. Like, you can play video games and stuff. I mean, they're still a ripoff, don't get me wrong. But, like, you can do things with them. You can't do shit with tickets. If you save up all the tickets ever, you get, like, the crappiest keychain fob that makes MIDI fart noises in the history of the world. And I realized this is the best scam ever. It's even better than cotton candy and snow cones.
Well, I don't know. That's a pretty good scam.
Chuck E. Cheese tickets.
That's a cotton candy and snow cones is a pretty good scam. However, cotton candy, I'm sorry, even after this person told me this, snow cones I've always known are a scam, and a cotton candy too, but cotton candy is cool. I mean, the whole idea of taking what's essentially flavored sugar and spinning it into these long strands of fiber that you can eat. I don't know.
Bright color.
I know. It just seems neat to me.
The concept is really fascinating. I have always found the actual experience incredibly disappointing.
Oh, no.
I taste it and I'm like, tastes like sugar.
Well, yeah, but all candy tastes like sugar.
No, you put flavoring in it.
Well, all the cotton candy I've ever had flavoring.
To me, it has always just tastes like sugar.
Oh, no.
I think in my mind sometimes, but I think it's like the people who think that different colored Fruit Loops have different flavors. You think they do. And you eat them and you know, you're like, oh, this is a blue one. Oh, it tastes different. They don't really. You think like, oh, yeah, I can tell. This is more grapey. No. And I'll tell you why, too. Cotton candy is a flavor.
Yeah, that's true. It kind of is.
So you don't buy grape cotton candy flavored ice cream.
Well, yeah, but I don't.
Or a.
I see what you're saying. I don't.
Lemon cotton candy flavored slushy.
I see what you're saying. I don't remember ever being sold a cotton candy that was supposed to taste like anything other than cotton candy. But it does not. It doesn't just taste like sugar. It tastes like.
Yeah,
cotton candy.
It tastes like once I get over the novelty of feeling like I ate the stuff out of the lint trap and it didn't kill me, I don't know. I get disappointed. I'm not saying like if you gave me free cotton candy, I would be like, fuck you. At this point I would be like, what's wrong with you? I'm diabetic. Get the fuck away from me. But I mean, aside from that, I'm not saying, you know, I would kick cotton candy out of bed for eating crackers. But what I'm saying is, I don't know, it's never been that. When I actually get it, it's kind of disappointing. I don't know.
Well, I don't have it very often, but you know, if I go to the fair, that's one of the things I might go out of my way to get or to.
No, funnel cake.
To a carnival. Well, no,
damn it, funnel cake.
No, but you know, I had a bad experience with.
Wait, funnel. I do?
Well, don't you remember I told you I worked at Adventureland Park.
Oh, that's right. So you've seen all the animal secretions that go into the funnel cake, or
it's not just that, but you know, we back then you actually they called them funnel cakes because you used a pitcher and one side of it was shaped like a funnel and it came out of the funnel end and you poured it in a circle, circular type of thing, and it fried in there. So you did it, you know, by hand, I guess. Nowadays machines do it, but
I don't know. If you go to a fair, you still see them a lot by hand.
Well, if you're the person pouring the funnel cake batter into these little circular things over this hot grease,
it sucks into your pores.
Oh, your fingers.
Your whole just life.
No, your fingers like... swell up, and you smell at the end of the day like you're just a huge donut. Now, I love donuts, but I don't want to be one. And there's always a huge line. So you can't stop. Like they have to have one person there to just grab your pitcher when it's empty and put another one right in your hand.
And there's usually two lines, and one's to take your money and give you a number to get in the other line for the funnel cake.
And just when the line gets shorter, you know, you see a bunch of people kind of walk by, and they don't even look at the window where you're making funnel cakes or the sign that says funnel cakes. They look at the other people standing in line, and you can just see in their faces they're thinking, what are these people standing like? Well, I don't know. Well, I guess we'll stand in line too. Like... they don't even want funnel cakes. They're just standing in line because everybody else is standing in line. And so you just keep making these funnel cakes and it never ends.
So it's not that you think they taste bad. It's that if somebody were to try and tempt you with a bite of funnel cake, your legs and hands would start to hurt and you would go crazy.
It's like post-traumatic stress. Kind of thing.
Post-traumatic funnel cake disorder.
It's terrible. And you know, and bad things start to happen. Like, while you're working, like, the guy next to you, he's sweating, like, into the grease. And a wasp somehow gets into the place and it's flying around. But you can't stop. You can't stop pouring. You're a little afraid that you might get stung, but what happens is the wasp gets hot while it's flying over the grease, and then it crashes into the funnel cake that you're making. But do you stop? No, you just keep on pouring right over that wasp. And then you flip it over with the tongs, and you take it out, and it's sitting there, you know, with the grease draining off of it, and then they put it on a plate. You think maybe you should say something, but you're really sure nobody's going to notice the fried crisp wasp in their funnel cake, because guess what? They didn't even want a funnel cake when they got in line. They just got in line because everybody else was standing in line. So you just let it happen. And you feel bad about it later, but... Jeez, what's the matter with you over there? Anyway, it's just a bad experience.
Far and away the funniest thing you've ever said.
These things really happen. I'm not making it up.
I know. That's what makes it so awesome.
I got in trouble.
It's kind of a mediocre stand-up routine, but knowing that it was you and it was real. You weren't going to get stung, but the wasp just sort of gets warm.
What? That is what happened, and it crashes in the funnel cake, and you just keep on going. You got to do it. I mean, we're not talking 8 hours either. We're talking maybe 12 hours of you just doing that all day long. Your fingers are swollen up, and oh, it's terrible. So, yeah, I can't do the funnel cake thing, and it's just too...
Not so much. How about elephant ears?
The same thing. I got in trouble once because...
Can't you just fling those in? I mean...
I don't know. I got in trouble once because I was working the cash register after everything else was going on, and I really, you know...
Needed the money to feed your family, so you stole it?
Shell-shocked in a way, and someone asked, this is horrible, you're going to think I'm terrible when I tell you what I did.
Awesome.
No, it's not awesome, it's awful. So these people came up, and they asked me, well, you know... So, and this happened a lot, people would ask, well, there was a huge line, so people had to make chit-chat about it, right?
Yeah.
What do you make the... What do you make the funnel cake batter out of?
Okay. What'd you do? What'd you say?
I said, well, you know, as soon as the pitcher runs out, we've got a leper back there. We just scrape a little off. Oh, man.
That's awesome. awesome.
They were mad.
Oh, that's
and
so awesome.
I got
awesome.
In such huge trouble. But I was not in my right mind. I had been working.
Yeah, for
in the
once you were cool.
That wasn't cool.
That was
horrible.
Awesome.
Gross.
I'm going to do that tomorrow.
Leprosy is a real disease that people suffer. I shouldn't be making fun of the lepers. It's a terrible thing. But that's what I did, and it got in trouble.
I used to know a good leper. Oh, I do know a good leper joke, but
I can't do it anyway. Don't tell me a leper. I mean, the thing is, the funnel cake batter was a mix, and we just added water, and I think we might have added eggs and
was
something.
Was it made with real funnels?
No. Oh. So we didn't really make it, you know. Yeah, we put eggs and water basically in there.
And then all the powdered stuff comes together.
Yeah.
That, I had similar experience making donuts.
Well, we did that too, eventually, donuts. Which I like better because the machine basically made the donuts and you just put them in a bag
of
sugar.
Like a donut robot?
Well, it was like there was this long canal of grease.
Yes, yes, it's a donut robot.
And there was a hopper that dropped it into
the grease. Yeah, and then in the middle it flips them over.
Yeah,
it
flips them over.
Oh, yeah, no, it's called a donut robot. I had them at Casey's, and it actually says on it, donut robot.
Well, we had one.
I named it Crow.
We had one for potato chips, too, where you put the you put the whole potatoes in a slicer, and it would slice them, and they'd drop in the grease, and they'd float down and flip over. And
the neighbors got something, I'm sure, that was off a TV offer or something. It's a microwavable potato chip maker.
Hmm.
And you just slice potatoes and put them on this thing, and you microwave them, and they come out as potato chips. They're not great, but they're doable.
Yeah, well.
And for just being freaking sliced potato and then they put a little salt on it, like, they're as good as, like, baked Lay's. I could totally, like, munch on those as a snack.
Huh.
I was really kind of surprised. They were pretty tasty. And you can put your own crap on them and stuff, too, because they're still kind of hot and sticky when they come out. But you don't, like, oil them up first or anything.
Oh.
You just microwave them.
Hmm.
That was pretty cool.
I had a lot of interesting experiences in food service.
Have you seen that Adventureland movie?
No. Did I tell you why that was disappointing to us?
But you did see it.
No. I told you about it, though, right? Because let's see. All my brothers worked at Adventureland.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Besides me. And a lot of other people from my hometown, Melcher Dallas, worked there. And a few years...
at the big city, as they call it.
Adventureland. So we... A few years ago, my brother said, you know, we need to make a movie about some of our experiences.
Oh, I do remember this.
And I said, oh, yeah, that's a good idea. And we had some ideas of what the movie would be about and stuff, but never got around to really writing a script or anything. And then the next thing we know, here's this movie out called, not only is it called Adventureland, but it's set in the 80s or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Like we were going to do with ours. I mean,
I do remember.
Figure the odds. You know, they could have. Why does it have to be set in the 80s, for example? I mean, Adventureland, that's pretty obvious, I guess. But set in the 80s, like we were going to do with there, because that's when we worked there.
Well,
it does
seem weird, but also, consider the number of people who worked there in the 80s, and consider the number of young people, especially men, who grew up in the 80s and wanted to be filmmakers later.
Well, or who worked at an amusement park of any kind, yeah.
Yes, yes.
That's probably a pretty standard thing for kids to do for jobs if they live anywhere within a 50-mile radius of an amusement park.
Especially in the Midwest. It's a thing here more.
Yeah.
Where everybody has a local. I mean, we had a local one. It's called Enchanted Forest, but it was a different thing. It was very much more kid-based. There weren't a lot of rides stuff. But so you don't want to see it because it would hurt too much.
Well, everything I heard about it was it's not a movie I would go see.
Yeah, yeah.
It
might remind you of those great, wonderful times.
I doubt it. Well, I didn't actually. They worked there longer than I did, and they had better times working there than I did.
Than the Wasp.
Two of my brothers worked in the warehouse, you know, delivering prizes to the game places and food to the food places, and apparently that's a really good time. Working just in the food place where I worked, I was fun, and I've got a lot of fun stories from there. But you know, it wasn't like, let's make a movie about it.
What was I gonna say?
I don't know. Sorry,
I was gonna say it like three times, and then I keep forgetting.
I did it to you again.
but I don't give up like you do. Oh no, aren't we supposed to be making a movie?
A movie?
Yeah, didn't you do a thing, like an email or a Facebook or something with a bunch of
people? Oh, yeah. Supposed to be doing I did. Something? Well.
I was like, I'm going to go back and look at that later, and then I never did because I'm a jerk.
It was,
Are we supposed to be making something?
Maybe.
Because I'm still a diva. I'm all over the...
Okay.
I don't have my Percocet and Diet Coke anymore, but I can adjust.
Well, you know? I thought, you know, I did that script of...
You had like 12 things on there.
I know, but the thing I wanted you to see specifically and think about was the script I wrote about Jesus during the Last Supper and him talking to all his disciples, but doing it in a way where he was sort of telling stories and yucking it up about things that happened.
Oh,
to him.
Okay.
Do you remember that?
I remember the concept. I don't think I remember seeing
well, because
the treatment.
What I remember doing is I sent it to you, and you actually made some changes and adjustments to it
wow.
that I thought were really good. And actually, the copy I sent was the one that you made some adjustments to, which it was better.
How long ago was this?
Oh, we worked at Applied together. And
wow, okay. See, the diabetes has pretty much wiped out all that part of my memory.
The file is called An Evening with Grandpappy because I was going to tie it in with my site.
Right, yeah,
but
yeah,
I probably won't do that now. I'll call it something else. But it's still good material, I think. It's still kind of an interesting idea where, you know, it, the Last Supper and Jesus is telling jokes and telling these little stories about things that happened. And
it sounds familiar. And I even think I remembered this in conjunction with me telling you what to do. Sounds familiar. So, let's see. Hopefully soon, people. Yours truly will be getting an iPod Touch, and then yours truly will be joining Twitter, and then you'll have all sorts of more hat related. It's going to be my Twitter account, but I'm going to use it also to promote the hat. So if y'all are Twitter people, you'll be able to follow me there, and it'll be awesome. Cool. I still need help trying to figure out a good Twitter handle, so if you have any suggestions, put them on our blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com. Also... write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, well, that's pretty much it.
Okay.
You can like us on Facebook. Go ahead and like us on Facebook.
And tell your friends.
And tell your friends.
And, or your enemies.
Tell people in your neighborhood. Like, go around. Like when a new person moves in and they're a registered sex offender and they're required to go to each house and tell them. Go around to your neighbors and tell them about our podcast.
So you're a registered hat.
Listening. I'm a registered hard hat.
Registered hard hat.
So.
And it's your legal obligation to let people know about
the podcast. Less legal, more moral.
Okay.
Obligation to do that. So do that. And we will talk to you next week.
Okay, well, thanks to Blood Sparrow and Anon, though.
Yes, thanks to Blood Sparrow Anon.
Wow, only two.
Anon and Sparrow. That's because we spent 20 minutes on diabetes, 10 minutes on the bathroom, and...
Why did you have to remind me of that? I'd forgotten already.
And 20 minutes on the horrors of funnel cake.
Well, I'm glad we talked about...
possibly the best 20 minutes of my life.
I'm glad we talked about the diabetes thing, though, because I was really concerned about it, and now I feel better.
Yes.
I know that's selfish of me. I mean, you're the one with diabetes. And
No. It's a thing.
You need
know?
To be comforted.
And there's no way you could handle this podcast on your own, so.
That's true.
And Ezzy does not like you much, so I don't know if she'd help. Anyway, we're not doing a good job of ending this.
Sorry.
So, that's the end.
The end. Goodbye.
Tasty way to do it.
Please disregard the previous hour of useless audio. This has been a production of the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. If you would like to contact us, and I don't know why you would, please do so at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. All music is provided courtesy of Jay Underberg. More of his PodSafe audio can be found at podsafeaudio.com/J_Underberg. Thank you.